I'm Sarah Littman. Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be learning Sefer Mishle, Proverbs chapter 17. The overall message of this chapter is the mindset of the ksil, the arrogant fool, and what remedy he has. We will be relying primarily on the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch as a basis for our study. One of the ways that Shlomo HaMelech teaches us in Mishle is through contrast. And so, for example, he contrasts the tzaddik, the righteous person, with the rasha, the wicked person. We learned about the tzaddik in chapter 13, and we'll get to the rasha in chapter 21. Paralleling the contrast of the righteous and wicked in the areas of their actions, we have the contrast of the chacham, the wise person, with the ksil, the arrogant fool. They're opposing characters when it comes to the area of improvement of the mind. There are several different terms for foolishness or a fool that are used in Mishle. For example, kasil, which we'll learn about in this chapter, evil, we'll see that in chapter 14, late, the scoffer, bar, the brutish fool, and pesi, which we learned in chapter 9. So what is the specific personality of the kasil? Whereas the chacham, the wise person, is always searching for more truth, is always open to learning from people. That's what we learned about in chapter 9. The ksil is truly the opposite. The characteristics of the ksil, as described in this chapter, include more dangerous than an angry bear, always starts the fights, repays good with bad, learns with the intention of not fulfilling what he has learned, justifies wickedness, and accuses the righteous of bad doing, downplays his capabilities, and assumes that God is out to get him. We all know the ksil. The ksil isn't actually stupid, but it's embarrassing to see him speak. This is the person who knows how to run the country. He knows better than all the doctors. He knows better than the rabbi. He knows exactly what Tesla or Apple or Google should be doing if they really want to be successful. He's so full of his own vain pride that there's no room for any new ideas. When you come across a person who is sure he's a wise man, who advertises it, who has signed his own chacham certificate, you can be sure that that arrogance testifies to his lack of wisdom. He may have learned something, but what he's learned isn't wisdom. So the ksil is someone who forcefully forms an unjustified opinion and then obstinately sticks to it. He announces it loudly. He refuses to budge. He's the conceited fool who tenaciously adheres to his views no matter how unjustified or ridiculous they might be. The ksil isn't feeble-minded. He could learn, but he's so prejudiced by his erroneous view of things that he blindly follows his opinions in utter disregard of any rational conclusions. One of the personality quirks of the ksil is an absolute resistance to self-reflection. The ksil does not want to assess their thoughts or their reasons because they don't want to find out that they could have been wrong. That offends the arrogance. Thus, wisdom begs arrogant fools, as we saw in chapter 8, verse 5, Uchsilim, Havinu Lev. Arrogant fool, start with Havinu Lev. Gain insight into your own heart. Try and get some perspective on your own capacity for understanding. If you had a more realistic idea of who you are and what you do know and what you don't know, maybe you wouldn't have such unlimited confidence in your own intelligence and human intelligence in general before you form such an authoritative opinion about things and matters you don't know that much about. If you can realize that you don't know everything, then you could get some advice from someone who does. Self-awareness is the first step in acquiring wisdom. So get to know your heart. Be honest about the narrow range of its understanding. Be transparent with yourself about the impact that desires and those things that you see have on your heart, because it's really only then that you can begin to open up and be accessible to wisdom. Let's take a look into the verses of chapter 17 and see how this understanding of who the ksil is and the needs and limitations of the ksil inform our reading. Chapter 17, verse 1, Tov pas chareva v'shalvava, better a dry slice of bread with tranquility, mibayis malei zivchiriv, than a house full of celebrations that are contentious. It's so true. An environment of love and affection and respect is really, really worth more than any gift or any fanciness or any dressing up. It really is a happier home to have simple, basic food, simple cars, simple furnishing and clothing and toys and peace, rather than a house that's full but of contention. You might have noticed that the celebrations here are described as Zivchei Riv. Zivachim means celebrations related to holiness. It implies offerings that are shared. A home can be busy with matters of holiness and sanctity and still be full of feud and controversy. We can lose sight of our goal, whether it's an offering for God or a simcha, a joyous occasion, a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, a wedding, the birth of a child. And instead of enjoying and relishing being together with others, feeling gratitude to God for what he has given us, we can end up arguing over who's going to sit where, who gets to walk down the aisle, who gets to choose the baby's name, who gets to choose the color theme. Tov pas chareva v'shalva va. Better a dry slice of bread with tranquility. Isn't that the truth? The Midrash brings a beautiful example of this principle. Bilam, the wicked prophet to the nations, brings 70 offerings to God, corresponding to the 70 nations. When he sees that his offerings are not desirable to God, he says, God, isn't it better for you to be worshipped by 70 nations than just one small nation? Bigger is better, right? And God answered him, Tov pas chareva. I'd rather have a dry piece of bread, mi bayis male zivchei riv, than a whole houseful of contentious offerings. God says to Bilam, you wicked person, what are you doing? Bilam says, oh, I'm building 7 altars for you. And God says, I would rather have a simple meal with the people that I love than all of your fancy celebrations. It's true in our homes, and it's true in our relationship with God, to be safe and loved with him, no matter how simple our lives might be, to eat matzah and maror at the Seder, waiting for the Exodus, to eat bread and water in the Holy Land, to have a home filled with the sounds of Torah. These are worth much, much more than gifts, wealth, or any kind of physical comforts. Because no gift and no money can buy the comfort of love. Verse 4, Meiram makshiv al sfas oven. An evildoer pays attention to iniquitous speech. Sheker mezin al lashon havos. Deceit listens to a destructive tongue. A person who plans to do something wrong intends to deny it if they're caught or seen. They're already thinking of how they would explain it away to themselves or to others. I encourage you, listen for that voice inside of yourself that's making excuses for what you do. It is the surest voice of your conscience knowing that you may be on the wrong track. An ironclad commitment to inner truth is a marvelous defense against heading in the wrong direction. Verse 10, Techas ge'ara v'mevin, mehakos k'sil me'a. A threatening roar frightens an understanding person more than 100 blows that fall on the fool. The understanding person can understand where they might be going wrong. They may feel afraid, but they also have a motivation and an insight that allows them to change. Verse 12, Pagosh dov shakul be'ish ve'al k'sil be'ivalto. Sooner be confronted by a she-bear that's bereaved of her cubs than by an arrogant fool, a k'sil, in his foolishness. The great Rabbi Avigdor Miller taught, the danger of an arrogant fool placing arrogant thoughts into your mind is greater than the risk of meeting up with an angry, defensive mother bear. If you see an angry mother bear bereaved of her cubs coming down the street, you run for your life as fast as you can. Rabbi Miller says, if you see a k'sil, an arrogant, blustering, conceited fool, run for it. This person is an actual danger to your mind. This verse is meant literally. Your mind is the most powerful part of you. You've got to preserve it. So run for your life. Meiri reads this verse slightly differently. He says, a fool would rather face an enraged bear than have to face his own personal weaknesses. Verse 13. Meshiv ra'a tachas tova, lo samush ra'a mibeso. One who repays good with evil, evil will not depart from his house. The quality of Hakaras HaTov, appreciating the good that someone does for you, is a primary value in Judaism. In fact, we're not even allowed to return Ra'a Tachas Ra'a, evil for evil, bad for bad. That would be called revenge. That's actually not permitted. The Zohar in Parshas Miketz tells that Rav Abba saw a traveler who was camping at the foot of a mountain. A poisonous snake was headed towards the man, and a tree branch fell, killing the snake. The traveler awoke, and as he packed up and left his campsite, a landslide came down the hill, destroying the place where he had been sleeping. Rav Abba realized that this man must have some kind of special merit protecting him, so Rav Abba asked him what that might be. The man said he always made it his habit to immediately forgive anyone who wronged him, and he tried to always do good for others, even if they caused him pain. Rav Abba said, "You are like Yosef, the righteous one, who was so kind to his brothers, even after they had sold him down to Egypt." Every action that we make puts out force and energy into the world around us. It creates a malach, a force of divine will, that lives on eternally and surrounds us and our souls. When our actions are negative or sinful, the force created by them continues to be self-perpetuating. It leads to more of the same kind of behavior. Similarly, when we do something good, when we rise above ourselves, those good actions carry force that tends to lead to more and more good deeds. But if a person has the personality habit of meshiv ra'a tachas tova, returning bad for the good that is done for them, then that is the sort of force that they set up for themselves. And even when they do good things and create good force around themselves, create positive malachim, what returns to them is that which is bad, because that's how they're interacting with others. Verse 15, Matzdik Rasha u'marshia tzadik, to'avas Hashem gam shnehem. Justifying an evildoer and condemning a righteous person, both of these are disgusting to God. We will see a similar sort of phrasing in chapter 20, Evan va'evan efa va'efa, with regard to having false weights and measures. These two are described as to'avas Hashem gam shnehem, both disgusting to God. There's a unique sort of revulsion that God has for someone who presents things as other than they truly are. Verse 16, Lama ze mechir biyad kisil? Why is there money in the hand of a fool, liknos chachma, to purchase wisdom, vilev ayin, when he has no understanding heart? Remember, the first step to acquiring wisdom is self-awareness, self-knowledge. This fool, this ksil, is overly confident about his intelligence and his opinions. He doesn't think there's any need for him to seek instruction from others. The price of the purchase of wisdom when it comes to a fool, an arrogant fool, a bombastic fool like the ksil, the price is that he wants to sell his ideas to others. He's not seeking to acquire anything new. What value would it be for him to buy any new wisdom? There's no room in his heart for it. He wouldn't know what to do with it if he had it. Rashi emphasizes, the fool comes to acquire wisdom, to learn Torah, vilev ayin, but he doesn't have any heart for it. He doesn't plan to make this a part of himself. We've talked before about the importance of allowing our mind to influence our heart and influence our deeds. But the kasil, the bombastic, pompous fool, whatever he does go out to learn, it's for reasons other than becoming an integrated whole person. He might be seeking a fancy title. He might be seeking respect. He might be researching a topic in order to tear it down. Whatever it is, his personality will not allow it to inform him. Verse 17, Bechol es ohev harea. At all times, a friend's love is there for you. Ve'ach letzara yivaleid. And a brother is there for you in times of affliction. Love your friends. Build your friendships. Hold those near and dear to you close. They are your help and support in time of need, and you are theirs. Verse 21, Yoleid ksil lesuga lo, velo yismach avi naval. One who begets a fool does so to one's sorrow. The father of a degraded person does not rejoice. Verse 24, Es pnei mevin chachma. Wisdom lies before an insightful person. Ve'enei ksil b'ktzei aretz. But the eyes of the ksil, of the bombastic fool, are at the ends of the earth. The Chacham, the wise person, can see the truth right there near him. Ki karov elecha hadavar me'od, says the verse in Devarim. Rashi explains, the Chacham, the wise person, sees wisdom, knowledge, Torah, as right here near him. Ki karov elecha hadavar me'od, the verse says in Devarim. The Torah is very, very near to you. The Ksil, on the other hand, the pompous fool, says, no, no, it's much too far away. How could I ever possibly learn the entire order of Nezikin? That's 30 chapters. How could I ever learn the whole tractate of Kalim? That's 30 chapters. How could I ever learn the tractate of Shabbos? That's 24 chapters. Nobody could do all that. The Chacham instead says, today I'll learn 2 chapters. Tomorrow I'll learn 2 more chapters. And after a while, I'll see that I have accomplished it all. The Chacham assumes that God is on his side, and that the task must be manageable by virtue of the fact that it has been provided. The Ksil assumes that God is demanding the impossible, that he's doomed to failure. The Ksil projects a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. You, participants in the OU Nachyomi Women's Initiative, are you not the Chacham that's described here in Mishle? Isn't that you? Who could ever learn all of Nevi'im, all of the books of the prophets? Who could ever learn all the Ksuvim, all the holy writings? What do you say? I'll learn a chapter today. I'll learn a chapter tomorrow. It's exactly what Rashi explained here. This is Chachma. Focus on the task at hand, break it into little chunks, and wow, look at the achievement. It's an honor to learn with you today. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.